Can you hear me? Am I on? Come on, great. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here in power. And Lord, I pray now that you speak to each one of us and that each one of us may powerfully encounter you through the reading of your word and through your presence with us this morning. Amen. So Lindy and I sat down a few weeks ago and we wanted to devise a program for the summer. And we thought we should look at some really faith-building stories from the life of Jesus and the disciples, hence this series. It's all about people who encountered Jesus or his followers, his early followers, and their lives were totally changed. And if we encounter Jesus and his Holy Spirit in this way, our lives are going to be totally changed. And we called it wind, waves, water and fire, because those things somehow cropped up in the four stories we're looking at. And the first one is all about the wind. We suddenly leapt onto communion. That's very nice. It wasn't quite what I was planning. Anyway, I'll carry on. No? No, definitely that's not meant to be there. Anyway, I'll crack on. Right. So this is the deal for our summer series. I know lots of you want to get off to your Sunday lunch or get to the beach, all right? So instead of me dragging on and on like I usually do, I'm going to try and do this in 15 minutes, which is really difficult, because if I was on Mastermind and I had to choose my chosen specialised subject, the Holy Spirit would be my chosen specialised subject, and I could keep going with the Holy Spirit for ages, all right? But I'm looking at the clock, and we're going to try and do this. And look, it's the middle of the night. It's the middle of the night. Oh, there we are. There's the wind. Got some wind there. How about that? It's the middle of the night. No, oh dear. I'm going to chuck that thing away, right? And Mike, Bob, you can make it happen, all right? Okay, we're going to do that bit in a minute, all right? Okay, so it's the middle of the night, and who turns up to see Jesus but this man Nicodemus? Now, he's an important man. He's a significant man. There he is. That's Jesus on the left and Nicodemus on the right. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish ruling council. 71 experts in the Jewish law. And important people like that, confident, they don't kind of slip around. You can't imagine important people like Donald Trump wandering around in the kind of hole in the corner way, just turning up in the middle of the night. Everybody knows what he's doing, where he's going, what he's talking about, maybe a bit too much. So, but this man comes along in the middle of the night because he's seen Jesus a little bit risky. Jesus is an edgy kind of person. And a person like Nicodemus, who's a member of the establishment, if you like, doesn't want to identify with him too clearly up to that point. So he comes to talk to Jesus, and Jesus comes out with one of the most remarkable statements in the whole Bible. He tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. And Nicodemus, truly, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And Nicodemus hasn't got the faintest idea what he's talking about. Not a clue. And Jesus explains he's talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm obviously used to using this expression, born again, about the mode of conversion. We talk about being a born again Christian. And Jesus is very clear, if you have not been born again, you can't call yourself a Christian. Now, it doesn't mean to say it has to happen at a particular moment. It does mean that God's Holy Spirit has to intervene decisively in our lives. That's what it means. That's what it means. But I believe Jesus is not just talking about a single moment. Not a single moment in our lives. What he's talking about is the Holy Spirit has to come and work in our lives. And the effect is so powerful, so remarkable, that we experience a whole new quality of life. Life in the Spirit is totally different to life outside the Spirit. And it's as though we really are born again. It's like new life has suddenly happened. So I've only got 15 minutes, about 10 minutes now, I suppose. Usually you go for a 3-point sermon. I'm going to try a 9-point sermon. If I press this, let's see what happens. Oh, no. Yeah, I'll give up. Okay. I'll leave it to you, Bob, Mike. All right. Okay. Okay. Why is the Holy Spirit so remarkable? First of all, because he's invisible. Okay. We're used to doing the things that we can touch and see. But things that we can't touch and see still affect us. Okay? On Thursday, this was my highlight of the week. Can we have a picture? Now look at that. Look at that. That I went down to at Prince Albert Gardens to help steward an electronic dance music event, alright? Now I should say that this is not my usual cultural milieu, alright? The week before I was at opera, alright? But I went down to this thing, and the reason I went down to this thing was because, can we have the next slide? Now this is Danny, okay? And Danny often comes to church. He masterminded this thing. He was mixing the cheese there on the night, right? And he needed some people, and he wanted some Christians to come along and steer it. So I thought, I'm going to identify with him. I'm going to go along and do it, see? So it was great. It was really interesting. Not my usual thing, but I had a good time. Unfortunately, Danny supplied earplugs. Now, I should say, sometimes people complain about the volume of music in the church. If you've been down there, you'd never complain again, all right? It was unbelievable. I put the earplugs in, I stood in front of the stage, and I felt the sound hitting my body. It was unbelievable, all right? The point is, it might have been invisible, but it sure was powerful, all right? So the Holy Spirit is invisible, but second point to my 9-point sermon, he's powerful. He's powerful. He's so powerful that Jesus says to Nicodemus, you're one of these experts, the leading spiritual experts in Israel. How did you know this stuff? Oh, come on. Don't you understand what I'm talking about? He couldn't believe it. Now, why is he powerful? He's powerful because he's transformational. He transforms people's lives. You know, the first thing he does is he brings new life. New life. I became a Christian at the age of 20, which was quite a few years ago, all right? But I still remember the feeling, my whole life divided between AC and BC, before Christ and after Christ. It's like there's a huge divide in my life. Jesus talks about enjoying life in all its fullness. And that's what it was like. I suddenly reached the end of my teens. I thought I knew it all. Then I encountered Jesus. And I thought, this is what life is all about. It was like I'd been gone into a dark room and somebody switched the lights on. Or I'd been watching a movie in 3D or 2D and I put the glasses on. Everybody experienced that thing? You know, you go to one of these 3D movies and they've got the 2D thing. You put the glasses on and suddenly the whole screen suddenly gets clear. Or maybe for those of you who are really, really old, we used to have black and white tellies, do you remember? But the first colour light, okay, it's like that. That's just the beginning of the transformation. The Holy Spirit's remarkable in another way. He's unpredictable. John 3, verse 9, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Just to let you know, the Greek word for wind and breath is the same word for spirit. The word is pneuma, with a P, P-N-E-U-M-A, okay? Which, where we get the word pneumatic tire. Okay? So, it's life with the Holy Spirit is such an adventure. You know, you don't know what you're going to end up doing. Who could have credited Andrew Court, you know, fully paid up opera fan, stewarding an electronic dance museum? Amazing, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you told me 15, 20 years ago I'd be standing in front of you lot and being your vicar, I'd never have believed it. But here we are. How extraordinary. Because the Holy Spirit is unpredictable, which makes life with Jesus fun.
Yes.
Really fun, okay? But the other brilliant thing about the Holy Spirit is he doesn't just transform us when we meet him for the first time. He transforms us through the whole of our lives. And my favourite chapter of the Bible on this is Romans chapter 8. This is what Paul says. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the sinful nature desires. Or sometimes that's translated the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the spiritual sinful nature is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So what is Paul saying? He's saying the Holy Spirit changes everything. He comes to live within us, and if we let him, we'll never be the same again. And actually, it's all in the mind, by which I mean it's not just made up in the mind. The Holy Spirit starts with our minds. It doesn't stop with our minds. We'll come into that in a minute. But he starts with our minds. So if you think, how does this work? What Paul is saying is we've got a choice. We can carry on living our old way, living our sinful nature, but what we can do instead is let the Holy Spirit come in and transform our minds. And then life is totally different. Because instead of living out of our own old desires, what we do is we can start to live what the Holy Spirit desires. And we start to live a holy life. Holy means set apart for God. That means we don't sin, but it means not more than that. It means we're set apart for God. So we can live a holy life, we can do what God desires, not because we clench our teeth in determination, saying I'm not going to do that stuff anymore, but because the Holy Spirit comes in power and transforms us. which is amazing. Instead of being bound by sin, we can submit to what the Lord wants from us. We can live a holy life, giving over to God. So the Holy Spirit imparts holiness, but he does more than that. He brings life and peace. He brings life and peace. And extraordinary, ultimately, even our bodies are going to be touched. This is what he says in verse 11. He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. What a result. Those of us who are kind of cracking up a bit, you know, suddenly the old joints are not kind of working like they used to, you know. And I've just started Pilates, by the way. It's really good Pilates. I think it's totally Tuesdays in the hall. It's fantastic, okay. But actually, something better than Pilates, okay. The Holy Spirit will come and give life to my mortal body because he's living in me. Our bodies then get transformed, which, looking at you lot, we could all do it, all right? Okay. It's going to be glorious. You look lovely, okay? But it's going to be great, okay? There's more. The Holy Spirit assures us we are adopted sons and daughters of the King. This is what Paul says a bit further on in Romans 8. He says this, verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I used this analogy before, but just imagine, let's have the next slide. Imagine the scene, there we are, there's Harry and Meghan getting married a couple of months ago. Just imagine the scene at the breakfast table the following day, okay? And do you think Meghan sits opposite Prince Harry and says, am I really a member of the royal family? Of course she doesn't ask herself that question. She knows she is. That was what the previous day was all about. In a moment, she's transformed from, you know, just a TV actress to a princess. Okay? She's now the daughter-in-law of the heir to the throne, which means she has incredible access to the highest authority. She can get things which, you know, most of us would never experience. I mean, say for example, she wants to watch the Wimbledon men's final. She's got a front row seat. Okay? Previously she couldn't. Now she does. It's extraordinary thing. Because Meghan and Paul know it's not a matter of what you know, it's who you know. You see, we know God's Holy Spirit intimately. And Paul says we have special access because we're the adopted sons and daughters of the King, which is amazing. Which is really important because we need to know that during those tough times. This is what Paul says a bit further down in Romans 8. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for. The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he searches our hearts, knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. What does it mean to intercede? Well, in a former life, I was a lawyer. I used to appear in court for people. There was my client in the dock, all right? And they'd done some terrible thing, like they, I don't know, robbed a shop or taken a car or something like that. And I would stand up there and I'd speak to the magistrate and the judge and I'd say, please be kind to them. Please don't send them to prison as they probably deserve. Please instead give the community service or, you know, give them a fine or give them information. Please don't let the full rigor of the law come upon them. That's interceding. That's interceding. Standing in the gap. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit of God stands in the gap for us when we're under pressure, encouraging us, supporting us, standing alongside us, interceding for us. So there we are. I think I'm under 15 minutes. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit, nine things. The Holy Spirit's invisible, powerful, transformational. He brings new life. He's unpredictable. He imparts holiness. He brings peace. He assures us that we are God's adopted children. He intercedes for us. Now, what I find amazing is that for so many people who call themselves Christians, they don't know the Holy Spirit in that way. They don't know the Holy Spirit in that way. Okay? And yet, he's available to everyone. Everyone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living within us. We just need to kind of, somehow, sometimes we imprison him, you know? We imprison him in a little part of our bodies or our minds, and we say, well, that's his small area. That's his little box, his little cubicle. Okay. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is guide every aspect of our lives. When we walk out the streets, he wants to be with us. When we're talking to that person down the road who's been bereaved, he wants to be with us. Okay. When we're talking to somebody and he wants to give us a word of knowledge about them, He's with us, okay? When, you know, when we go through difficult times, he wants to say, I'm with you, my son. I'm with you, my daughter. I'm here. Okay? I just couldn't get through life without that. You know, I just couldn't get through life without the Holy Spirit coming in power. And I, you know, I'm a vicar, so, and those of you know me, all right, I don't live perfect. Am I perfect? Anne, am I perfect?
No.
No. Now, Anne is lovely, actually. That's Anne Happy Joe over there. And sometimes she comes up to me, she says, Sunshine, I want to work with you. And I know I'm not perfect. But you all know I'm not perfect, all right. Those of you who come to, I mean, obviously, the visitors think I am perfect, obviously. And I'll leave you in that view, but no, okay? But without the Holy Spirit, I'd be nowhere. We'd be nowhere. But with the Holy Spirit, life is glorious. Life is abundant. Okay?